Good evening. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm thankful for Him. It's because of Him, I believe, that we are gathered in this way. I know it's because of Him. If it wouldn't be for Him, we'd still be stuck and sinking in sin and darkness. And so it's because of Him that these gatherings like this are possible. And as the Apostle Paul says of the Philippians, I thank God for every remembrance of you all. I have many memories, many precious memories, many good memories. And I thank God for them. They're good. They were a lot of good times, you know. And I thank the Lord for that. And as I was sitting back there tonight thinking on the subject, I was asked to speak on the family and just looking across the crowd and looking at all the children, looking at the babies in the mother's laps, looking at the older children down the line and just thinking someday every one of those is going to be in eternity somewhere. In eternity somewhere. And that gives me a burden. You know, the thought of that little precious daughter. My youngest daughter is 4 years old. Just to think of the possibility of not making it to heaven, that thought is about unbearable. And just think about that precious baby that's sitting that you're holding in your lap. And that should give you a burden. That should just make your heart sober, because someday that child is going to be in eternity. And tonight I would just like to plant on each one of our hearts the responsibility that we as fathers have towards our children, and try to relay God's heart for us as fathers. And we as fathers need to be carrying the burden for our children. If you read in Exodus chapter 39, when God gave Moses instructions for the priests, one thing that the priests were, they were supposed to wear this special robe. It was a beautiful robe. It was blue. It was, as you read through that, you get a picture of this robe that is just immaculate, of many colors, gold and different things engraved up on it, sewed up on it. But there's another thing that was sewed up on the breastplate of this garment, and that was the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the priests. They were the ones who were to come before God and intercede for these 12 tribes of Israel. This was the 12 tribes' access to God. And so they sewed the names of the 12 tribes on the breastplate. And as they looked down, they were reminded of their responsibility that they had toward the 12 tribes of children of Israel, to intercede for them, to lift them up to God. And so he had a constant reminder as he looked down and saw the 12 names on his breastplate. And today, you as a father, you're the priest of your home, responsible to carry the names of your children on your heart, carrying them on your heart, praying for them, interceding for them. You may not have the names of them sewed up on your shirt, but you have them ever before you, to remind you that you're responsible. And so tonight, I just want to challenge us all to rise up to our high calling as parents in leading our families. God lays a responsibility on our fathers. The word family is found in the Bible 297 times, and only one time in the New Testament. The other 296 times are mentioned in the Old Testament. And I have heard people say, well, God's heart is for the family of God, which it is, but God is also interested in our physical families. If you do a word study on the subject of family in the New Testament, it's threaded throughout the New Testament. You will find it that the word house, the word household and family in many areas in the New Testament are interchangeable and have the same Greek word. If you want to look up that Greek word, it's the number is 3624. I am not a Greek scholar, but it has the same word, O-I-K-O-S, oikos, 3624. And I just want to give you several examples of where that same word is used. One is in 1 Corinthians 1:16, the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, and I baptized also the house or the family household or family of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. And another one is in Hebrews 11:7, where Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Another one is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. I'm just going to turn there real quick and read a couple verses. I just want to show you this. It says, for if a man know not how to rule his own house or his own family, how shall he take care of the church of God? I'll back up verse 4. I jumped ahead there. One that ruleth well his own house or his own family, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And so here we see the seriousness of God's heart for the family. He specifically gives instruction here that if one is to lead out in a church, he needs to have his family in order. And so that's the seriousness God places on the family. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. Another one where that word is, words are interchangeable. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses or whole families, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So that's not a good thing. Whole families are getting, are apostatizing and backsliding because they're hearing things they shouldn't be hearing. And the last one here, quick, is 2 John, verse 10. One more verse I want to give you just to show you. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house or your family, neither bid him Godspeed. And so there's just a couple examples. And tonight I would like to spend some time in Psalms 78. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 78. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 here, and then just spend some time here in this passage. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be, as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And so I I have a burden tonight for the next generation and the generations to come. I already shared earlier just the thought of my children and my grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, possibly, if the world stands that long, to think that they're going to be in eternity, that they would get it somehow. And it wouldn't just stop there. And so, you know, just tonight, and we were sitting there and eating supper and just talking about, Tim was sharing with me of how he's reading in Luke chapter 15 there, the rich man in hell, and just some of the things that he was crying out. He had a burden for his five brothers all of a sudden. He became an evangelist all of a sudden. He had a burden for souls all of a sudden, but it was too late. There was nothing that could be changed. And so tonight, let's have that burden here before it's too late and do something with it. This passage here in Psalm 78 is loaded with action words for the Father. There's lots of action words here, and I just want to go through this as, and hopefully you'll get a burden. I used to flip houses for a living before, and before I started, I sought some advice from a real estate agent, and this is what he told me. He says there are three very important principles to go by, and this is what he said. He said, number one, location. Number two, location. Number three, location. He said that's the main three principles to go by. And so tonight, what I get from this passage here, I would like to say the most important responsibility of the Father is number one, teach. Number two, teach. Number three, teach. Number four, teach. And we're going to see all these action words here in Psalm 78 here. We'll start here in verse 3. It says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Our fathers have told us. Here's, you know, somebody was, the fathers here were doing some teaching back then. Our fathers have told us. It sounds like teaching. Told us what? And we read here in verse 4. We'll just read before here verse 4. It says, and we will not hide them. You know, if you're not going to hide something, that means you're going to open up your mouth. You're going to be doing some teaching. If you're going to be hiding something, you're going to keep your mouth shut. And then it says, in showing, here's another action word, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. And so our fathers have told us. What have they told us? And we have the answer here in verse 4, the praises of the Lord and his wonderful works, his strength. You know, are you telling your children about the power of God that's been working in your life? Are you telling your children about the praises of the Lord? Are you telling your children the wonderful works he hath done? Do your children know your testimony? Can your children tell other people your testimony and of great things that God hath done? This is what the children of Israel, you know, they went through the Red Sea. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And they were to tell their children this continually. God did not want them to forget at all what they experienced, the wonderful works of God. And so God told him here, tell your children what you have teach them his power. Teach them. You know, is the power of God present in your life today that your children see them today? Or is it just, you know, it needs to be alive. It needs to be real. God saved me. He saved me from sin and darkness. Tell your children what God saved you from and tell them, don't go back there. It's nothing but heartache. It's nothing but it's nothing but sadness. It's nothing. There's no life there. And so we see here, some people have the philosophy of letting my example of life speak, and it does. Our words need to match. Our life needs to match our word, but not to open your mouth to teach your children is not going to work either. And so some people have the philosophy, letting my example of life speak and not say many words, and hopefully they will get the picture. The example is good and needs to be, but it's not enough. You need to open your mouth to teach. Mothers, don't get distracted just with your work. You know, you have the opportunity as you have your children around you to teach them as you go about your work. You can take things and take whatever you're working on and give spiritual examples. You can tell your children of the wonderful deliverance God has given you. And so you need to teach over and over. What happens to little children who listen to a song over and over and over on a CD player? Pretty soon they're doing what? They're singing it perfectly, word for word, because they got it. They've been listening to it repetitively and over and over and over. And we see God's heart here with his principles too. It's not just enough one time to teach them the facts of life and the things of the scripture. It is over and over. That's how God has designed it. And same way as that child that gets that song because they've listened to it over and over and they can sing it word for word. You know, it's a blessing to hear a 3-4-year-old child just singing a song at the top of their lungs. I know it inspires me in my home when I hear that. And I've been blessed with that lately with my youngest daughter. And it just blesses my heart. She's getting it because she's listening to godly songs. And so she's singing it. And, you know, my brothers and sisters, and God, that's God's heart, that he wants us to teach our children of the praises of the Lord and of his strength and of his wonderful works, that they would get it. Isaiah 28:10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." I want you to notice that verse. He says, precept must be up on precept, precept up on precept, line up on line, line up on line. They're all in there twice, over and over. Here a little, there a little. Just a continuation. And so it's not going to work just to think that they're going to get it and you're not willing to open your mouth and teach your children, fathers. Verse 5, we have stronger language here, stronger action words. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." Here we see action words again. He commanded them that they should make them known to their children. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, if you would like, chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. And we are going to look at what God commanded them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll just start reading in verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And so here we see God command them to make them known to their children. And there's no break here. It's a continuous job. It's when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. God's heart for the fathers to teach the children is here clearly in this verse. He wants us to be at it continually. Children get excited with what's in dad and mom's heart. They can tell or pick up what's in the parents' heart. They can tell if mom and dad are excited about the Lord and the Word of God. They can tell if dad and mom are excited about the things of this life and the world. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They are being taught something. Whether you are quiet or if you're talking, they are picking something up. What's in the heart gets transmitted to the children. And so I just want to encourage you that they are being taught something. Even if you're quiet, they're picking up something. They're picking up where your heart is, whether it's the things of this life and things of this world. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Look at what's in the heart. We can't help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is a serious matter to God of teaching our children. Back to Psalm 78, verse 6 here. We have some more action words. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So here we have the action words, arise and declare them to their children. Arise and declare it to who? To your children, it says. Declare what? The praises of the Lord. His strength is the power of God evident in your life in such a way that you have something to declare to your children. His wonderful works. Again, how God saved you. You know, make them known to your children. Another point that I'd like to bring out here in this verse here, I see four generations getting it, experiencing God with and walking with God. We have verse 5, we have the fathers making them known to their children that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Here I see four generations. And so it's not God's heart that any are lost. You know, as 1 Timothy 3, 4 says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Basically, what that word gravity means, gravity is always in effect. If I drop this pen, gravity is in effect, right? It immediately takes hold. And God is saying here that he wants, just to lay the responsibility on us as fathers, he wants our children to get it with all gravity. It's just falling down upon them. They are getting it. They are hearing it. It's being passed on with all gravity. The gravity is in effect. The gravity of teaching. The teaching is just falling upon their ears, and it's falling upon the grandchildren. Then it's falling upon the great-grandchildren. Because gravity is in effect with all gravity. And so the word gravity means a necessary characteristic of the teaching imparted by a servant of God. Noah's sons got it. They were living in a wicked world, but Noah was able to impart his teachings to his sons with all gravity that they got it. And Timothy got it. He was a third generation Christian. He got it. It was imparted to him. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. It is not the will of God for one generation to follow him and then the next generation forget God and go into the world and perish. Look at verse 7. It says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It's not the will of God. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." God is faithful. He is the faithful God. And I don't know if I'm figuring this right, but the world was created around 6,000 years ago. And if you figure a generation to be 20 years and divide 20 years, 6,000 by 20 years, that's only 300 generations till now. That's only 300 generations till now from the beginning of time. And that scripture in Deuteronomy 7:9 says that God, he is a faithful God, which keepeth covenant mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. God is faithful. He's the faithful God. And so if you study the history of Israel, you see a generation or two serve God, love God, and then they would fall into apostasy for a few generations, and God would bring judgment to bring them back, and the cycle would continue over and over and over. But it's not the will of God. He's faithful unto a thousand generations, he says. And it's all because it's us as the fathers not doing our job in teaching. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." God abides faithful. It's the fathers who are not faithful in teaching their children. You know, many of us come from a people who claim an Anabaptist background or roots or heritage, but we all know somewhere along the line there was apostasy. And many generations were lost. But if we, as our fathers, don't do our job in what Psalm 78 teaches us, it will only be a repeat. It's serious. It's a serious thing. Young people, take it to heart, the things you're being taught. Courting couples, realize the seriousness of the step you're taking as you get married and have children. God has enough lost and rebellious people to deal with. Look at his plea in Psalm 78, verse 8. He says, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." This is God's plea. He says, "I have enough rebellious and stubborn people to deal with. I have enough lost people to deal with. I don't need more." In this verse, we read of fathers who are stubborn, fathers who are rebellious, fathers whose hearts are not right with God, fathers whose spirit is not steadfast with God. In this verse, we see verse 8 here, we see fathers who are stubborn, fathers who are rebellious, fathers whose hearts are not right with God, fathers whose spirits are not steadfast with God. Fathers, this is a recipe for lost generations to come. God is saying, "I don't want this. I don't like to see it. I want fathers whose hearts are right. I want fathers who are steadfast with God. I want fathers that will not hide the wonderful works of God from their children. I want fathers who are going to make known God's ways to their children. I want fathers who are going to arise and declare them to their children." It's not going to work for you as a father to be passive in raising your family, just thinking that somehow it's going to work out. It's not going to work for you to just to float along on the tell of others in the church and depend on them. If you have children, you are responsible as a father to teach your children the ways of God. What should you teach them? 78 verse 5 here says, He appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. You know, back then they were to teach them the law. But today, we don't necessarily teach them the old covenant. The law, a lot of time, refers to the old covenant. But we have the whole New Testament full of Jesus Christ's teachings and the ways of God, the way to live holy, the way to live by faith and pleasing God, full of godly principles that make our children wise unto salvation, like Timothy. Timothy was taught the ways of God, and which made him wise unto salvation. The scripture says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart them. You know, teach them about the fear of God. Teach them about the things of heaven. Teach them about hell. You know, teach them when they're doing bad things. You know, just ask them, where, if you continue that, where will it lead you to in eternity? I think it brings a soberness. You know, it's okay to be serious and to teach them. And, you know, make them answer. Where will it lead you if you continue that lying? Where will it lead you if you continue being rebellious? Where will it lead you? And just to ingrain it into their hearts. Teach them to sing and praise God. Teach them to sit in church and sing in church with their whole heart. Don't child-proof your house. House-proof your child. Don't house-proof your don't child-proof your house, but house-proof your child. They can learn where the boundaries are at. They can learn where the boundaries are at with friends. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Teach them about moral purity. Don't assume that they will get it because you go to a certain church. Don't just assume that. Teach them. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them the facts of life. Teach them to be second-mile children. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said there in this Matthew, if someone asks you to go with the mile, go with him too. Teach them to be second-mile children. Teach them to be courteous. Teach them to be friendly. Teach them to be able to communicate. You know, one thing that I've seen already, even your little babies, speak to them in a clear, plain words, not using babyish words, because I've seen this, children who are spoken, babies who are spoken to with everyday, plain English language, they grow up, and they immediately, that's how they speak. But if you're going to speak to them in babyish ways, they're going to be mumbling and saying babyish things. I've seen that, and I've experienced it. Teach them clear language, clear words as you speak to your wife, as you speak to your older children. Don't be just using babyish words. My heart tonight is to impress upon you the importance of teaching. You need to be talking to your children, even if it's the same thing over and over. Repetition is the key to learning. When I went to school in math, we would have these page of math problems called speed drills. We would have them on a regular basis, even though they were problems we knew, but they got ingrained in you, and they made multiplications, you know, became easy because you did it over and over and over. And it becomes valuable in life as you realize later, I don't need to sit there and think what 9 times 9 is. It's just there. And it's the same way with the Word of God as we teach it to our children as they face life. If we do our duty as fathers, it's there. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and he will not depart from it. It's not going to work by staying quiet and hope they get it someday. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How does faith come? By hearing. Faith is revealed from one generation to the next generation by hearing. Our ears are the avenue of getting things, whether it's for good or for evil. And so we as fathers, we as mothers, we have the privilege of teaching the ways of God, the wonderful works of God, to be constantly, when we are walking by the way, when we are arising, laying down at night, arising in the morning, we have the privilege of constantly to be putting the Word of God into their hearts and minds through their ears, and it will have an effect. And so I've so far addressed the fathers only, and in closing here, I just want to address the mothers also. You know, sorry if you thought you're going to get off the hook. Remember, the Bible says that the woman was created for a helpmeet. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I have a verse here I would like to read to you. 1 Timothy 5:14 says this, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." And so God's call is here for the woman to guide the house. The word "guide" there literally means to guide the blind. To guide the blind. You know, as Jesus says, the blind lead the blind, and both fall into the ditch. But you know, a blind man, he normally seeks someone out to guide him. The Apostle Paul, when he was blinded on the Damascus Road, sought someone to guide him. And so that word there means literally to guide the blind. In many aspects, the children that you have in your care, they are blind to the things of life. Example, you take a 1.5, 2-year-old, winter's coming on, and you light that wood stove, and what's he want to do? He sees the fire through the glass. The first thing he wants to do is go up and play with it, right? He's blind. That child is blind to the fact that that's going to hurt. It's hot. He's blind to the fact. And so mama comes along, and she guides the blind. She leads him away, or her away, from that hot wood stove, and in many ways. And as they grow, there are other areas of life they are blind to, but you're guiding the blind. You are a second voice to the things your husband, the father, is teaching the children. You're his helpmeet, taking his vision for the home and the teaching he's giving and implementing them into the children's heart. The children are hearing the same things from mom that they are hearing from dad. A second voice, a powerful way to raise many generations for Jesus Christ. And if it's done in that way, it will work. Dad can go to work or leave the house and know the children are receiving the same teaching they received from him. He knows he has a faithful helpmeet. Proverbs 31:11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Mothers, you also need to open your mouth in your home with your children. And so I just, my heart tonight here is to, I don't know if I can tell you enough that you need to teach. You need to teach. And so just a quick review here in closing. What is a very important responsibility for for fathers and mothers. Anybody get it? Teach. Number two. Number three. Teach. So I would just encourage you that we need to teach, because God has chosen the avenues of the ears for faith to come and to teach them the ways of God and the facts of life. So with that, I will just close, and I'd like to close with the prayer. Father in heaven, we look at our responsibility, and Lord, we just cry out to you that you would help us as fathers and mothers to raise these precious children for you, to teach them the wonderful works, the power of God, and the praises of God. Lord, help us, strengthen us, Lord. You know our needs, and we just cry out to you that you would help this word sink deep into our hearts and have effect, Lord, that all these children here could someday hear that blessed word, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you for your word, which guides and directs us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and God bless you for listening.